Oh, of course. What could be more important than a little something to eat?
Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Winnie the Pooh Fahrenheit. Hopefully you like that intro. I felt like it was fitting. I like to have fun with this, obviously. Your boy's not having a good season, so let's go ahead and have a little laugh about it. We're going to get into a little bit of the Build-A-Bear Bowl and some of the standings. A lot of injuries to go over, now to some quarterbacks. We got Jimmy G with a back injury, so it looks like maybe Brian Hoyer might be playing this week for you Devontae Adams owners and Jacoby Myers. We got Justin Fields banged up, so they got a backup I've never heard of coming in. Obviously, he's not going to have the same style as Justin Fields, although Fields hasn't been running like he has in days past, but it's going to be a whole new quarterback. So DJ Moore owners, good luck. We'll see what happens. We have news that Anthony Richardson might not come back this year. He could have season-ending shoulder surgery. Wanted to get that right, tongue twister. So interesting days ahead for the Colts with Gardner Minshew, who somehow makes it look good when he's playing. And you look at his stat line, it's like, two interceptions and a fumble, and the Colts lost. It's like, but he does provide fantasy output for us, so I enjoy it. You know, unlike a Mac Jones or a Zach Wilson, who's just out there throwing for 185 yards. Like, we can deal with Gardner Minshew. There's a lot worse options out there, but we're keeping an eye on Justin Jefferson. Looks like could be a extended absence for him past the 4-game IR. So I acquired him in a keeper league just a few weeks ago, knowing this was a possibility. It was actually a talking point, and it's probably happening. So we wonder if Justin Jefferson will even come back this year. We saw what the Rams did last year. It was a complete dud of a season with Cooper Kupp out, and they decided just to keep Kupp off the field and get him ready. Although he obviously got injured in the preseason. So I don't know if that's always a smart thing to do, shut people down. But there's a chance that the Vikings shut down Justin Jefferson. There's a chance that they trade Kirk Cousins at the deadline. Although the deadline is week 8 or 9. So that's really coming up. They're going to have to make a decision on that. I don't think they're going to trade him, but that's just me. So keeping an eye on that. Other injuries, obviously, like Khalil Herbert, still on IR. He's going to be gone multiple weeks. Kyren Williams got banged up. Looks like he's going to miss this coming week. CMC, big one. Obviously, Monday Night Football as well. So, CMC owners in our league, Taylor, let's see if she has a contingency plan, because there's nothing worse than the old questionable superstar Monday Night Football player, because you do not want to start a Latavius Murray over CMC if CMC is going to be listed as active on Monday. So you don't want to start a Latavius Murray on Sunday. I thought CMC wasn't going to play Monday. Well, if he plays, you're going to feel real bad about that Murray start. So we'll see if Taylor can set herself up there for maybe a little insurance policy. Progressive. Other news and notes. I mean, there's a lot going on in the league. Obviously, it was like bizarro week last week with the Browns beating the Niners. The Jets, the New York football Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, beating the Eagles. Fantastic. And the Giants almost did the same thing against the Bills, but you got to win those ugly ones, right? And the Bills did that. So that's just some of the news and notes for this week. We are headed into week 7. Podcast a little late this week. So, without any further ado, let's get to this week's studs and duds and the matchup of the week. Let's get this party started. Who's it gonna be? Let that music sink into your soul. Yeater Skeeters, take it out. Robert Saleh's Hated Society. We begin in MetLife. Yeater Skeeters, Jason Kelly, off to Schneid. Whoop! Gets his first win, 103-99. A close battle here. Let's take a look at the teams. Yeater Skeeters, triple digits. This is a rare occurrence for Mr. Jason Kelly. It comes from Justin Tucker. When your kicker is your best player on your team, this is going to happen sometimes. Justin Tucker, 6 for 6, 19 fantasy points, and he was every bit needed in the actual NFL game. That game took place in London against the Titans, and the Titans were just squeezing them in the red zone and green zone, and Ravens just couldn't get any scores, but Justin Tucker is a beast, 6 for 6. That is why he is the best field goal kicker in the league. In contention was Kyle Pitts, 4 receptions, 43 yards, and a touchdown, 12 fantasy points. Very quietly, if you can believe this, this is one of his best games of the season with 12 points. He is now the tight end 12 on the season. That's right, my friends. Kyle Pitts is considered a tight end 1, if you can believe that. So, unreal. Maybe there's more going around. Desmond Ritter's been slinging the ball lately. Not great. I mean, let's just say more pass attempts. But more pass attempts is always good for that Falcons offense. And they're going to be trailing more oftentimes than not. The game plan is usually run, run, run in the first half. Down by 10 points in the second half, and now Ritter's throwing to guys like Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and even Jonnu Smith. So, Kyle Pitts, looking good. As far as your dud, we had Tutu Atwell, 1 reception, 30 yards, so you're even thankful to get that. With Cooper Kupp back, it looks like it's the Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua show. Puka didn't have a strong game either. We'll go over that a little bit later. But it looks like there's just too many mouths to feed right now for the Rams. Don't forget about Tyler Higbee. So we'll see where Tutu Atwell fits in. He is the field stretcher, so I do think there's a secured role for him. But moving forward, Tutu is no longer that obvious double flex position start. You're going to really have to start thinking about his matchups and stuff. But nonetheless, 103, Yeater Skeeters. Let's go over to Robert Saleh's Hater Society. Time to change that name, bro. Robert Saleh looking like a Coach of the Year candidate right now. Winning games with his defense. That's his side of the ball. So you expect the head coach to dominate on his particular side of the ball. And he is, like he said, he's making quarterbacks look silly out there. Top-end quarterbacks. So time to switch that name up, bro. Patriots are trash. Maybe switch it to Belichick's long snapper, something like that. 99 points. Close matchup here, though. This was not a walk-away win for Yeater Skeeters. This was close. It could have, you know, it came down to Sunday Night Football with CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb had a good game, 15 fantasy points. Not bad for not getting a touchdown. 7 receptions, 117 yards. You know, first or second round pick here for Greg. You do hope for a little more than that, closer to the 20 mark, and a touchdown would have given him that. But nonetheless, you know, still a solid game. As far as your dud, I'm going to go Devonta Smith. This is concerning. Multiple weeks in a row now where A.J. Brown is the clear number one, which we pretty much already knew. But there was kind of a back and forth mentality the last couple years where maybe defenses were honing in on A.J. Brown, and that could free up Devonta Smith. And that's kind of the opposite of what happened here. A.J. Brown had a pretty good game against the New York Jets without their starting corners, and they locked up Devonta Smith. He had multiple drops. I think the Jets are just a hard-hitting team, and when you have a guy like Devonta Smith going over the middle, he had a little bit of the alligator arms, not going to lie, especially there at the end of the game when they needed him most. So he's going to be your dud. So Greg's moving on. Let's see what his record is. little bit different here today with the late pod, so things are not where they're supposed to be. So Greg's going to move on to 3-3 on the year, and Yeater Skeeters gets off the schneid. 1 win, 5 losses. Congratulations. All right, our next matchup was the Zinn Crusaders. Chris Roach taking on the Pillar of Fire, Tom Beggs. And Chris Roach takes the win, 105-83. Let's dive into this matchup. Low scoring games across the league this week, by the way, in most of my leagues. Just whether it was a down week on offense or other waiver wire type players were scoring touchdowns. Obviously, you know, it's a roller coaster out there as far as points go, but just seemed like a down week. So for Chris to put up 105, I think that was actually one of the top scores this week. Taking a look at his team, as far as his stud goes, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the sun god. Welcome back after his injury. He missed a game. Came back with 12 receptions, 124 yards, and a tutty, as the Lions took care of business against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road as well. So Amon-Ra St. Brown continuing his good season, even with a missed game. He is the wide receiver 12 on the season. As far as your dud goes, could go a couple different directions here. I don't know what you expected from KJ Osborne. He's in contention here, 4 for 48 against Chicago. I think we'll lean there because of that situation, Justin Jefferson gone. It's not like TJ Hockenson had the best game in the world. So it was really the Addison and Osborne show against a terrible Chicago Bears secondary. And Osborne only puts up 6 fantasy points. Not great. Also in contention, not so much a dud, but the worry, if there was a worryometer, start taking a look at James Cook. This is concerning. 71 yards on the ground, but no catches. He's a guy who usually gets 3 to 5 catches per game. He's very efficient. As you can see, 71 yards on the ground is no problem, but it's the lack of receptions in this game that's very concerning. This is a old Isaiah Pacheco stat line from last year. This is what Pacheco used to do. He'd have a great game as far as running back, real NFL running back stat lines go. 71 yards on the ground, not bad, but for fantasy purposes, this is touchdown dependent. So if there's a worryometer going on for James Cook, maybe that needle moved up a little bit on worrying. You know, this Latavius Murray's getting goal line touches and stuff, and with Damian Harris now out, I believe they picked up another running back, the Buffalo Bills. So we'll see what the rotation is. It should just be Latavius and James Cook now, so probably better days ahead for James Cook. Moving on to Pillar of Fire, as far as your stud, I'm actually going Ramondre Stevenson. He did have the touchdown, so it kind of inflates his numbers, but that's what fantasy football is. Only 46 yards on the ground. Why he's the stud after multiple weeks of being a dud, he added in the 5 receptions for 24 yards. So that is an extra, 5 fantasy points basically just from receptions. And that's what you want from the James Cook owner. James Cook owners would love to get 5 receptions like Ramondre just did against the Las Vegas Raiders. It was in a losing effort. And I think that's part of the game script that Ramondre is going to see moving forward. As far as your stud goes, as far as your dud goes, we will go Puka Nacua here. I feel like I got to get this in while he has a down game. He's been unbelievable this year, though. So he's still the wide receiver 8 in fantasy football. But just a down game. I thought the Rams, although they beat the Arizona Cardinals 26-9, I thought they'd do it more through the air with like an aerial assault. Cooper Kupp went absolutely nuclear this week. But Puka Nacua, just a down week for a rookie, 4 fantasy points, 4 for 26. So obviously he still got his looks, just couldn't really cash in and do much with it. 7 targets, you still like to see that. So I have no concern for Puka Nacua moving forward, but figured I'd get him in as a dud, you know, like a little rookie hazing here as a dud, because moving forward, he's still a very, very good option. Tried to trade for Puka Nacua just a few weeks ago with Tom, and he wasn't having it. I don't often try to trade high on players because I know their value is untouchable. I put together a good package here. I don't know, Jim. It was a good package, and Tom denied me. I wanted Puka. But nonetheless, Tom takes the loss here with the 83 points. He moves to 3-3 on the season, while Zen Crusaders gets the win and moves to 2-4 on the season. Our next matchup is going to be between Sweet Chick Music, Joe Chick, taking on Dixie Normus, Gage. And Gage takes the win 104-91. Let's take a look at Gage's team. He had a lot of good performances, mostly from his wide receivers. Diggs, A.J. Brown, also Ken Walker, Breece Hall, put in good games for him. I'm actually surprised he didn't score more points here. But we'll go over his dud in a minute on why he didn't score that many points this week. But for his stud, although Breece Hall, Ken Walker, Diggs, and A.J. Brown put up 15 or more fantasy points, all four of them, I'm going Isaiah Pacheco here. He only had 12.8. Here's why. 62 yards on the ground. Not great. Normally, last year, that'd be his stat line. He'd end up with 6 fantasy points. How did he get to 12 here? It's the receptions. 6 receptions for 36 yards. This is new information. I didn't like Isaiah Pacheco going into the season because the sample size we had last year was north-south running back, no receptions, didn't play third downs, and at the goal line, you know Patrick Mahomes, back when they had Hardman and Juju, and even 2 years ago with Tyreek Hill, everything is a flip pass. Most of the touchdowns go to Mahomes as a passing touchdown, and we just talked about Pacheco not getting receptions, blah, blah, blah. This is new information, so we need to adapt. Isaiah Pacheco has inherited the Jerick McKinnon role as of right now, which was a very startable role to begin with last year as a flex. He's absorbed the McKinnon role, and this is his floor right now. It's unreal. 62 yards on the ground, 36 receiving yards, and 6 receptions in the win against the Denver Broncos. So very encouraging for Isaiah Pacheco owners if you have him in other leagues. He is now much more important than you think. He's very safe, and now he still has that touchdown upside. He runs like he's chasing someone down for a bookie payment, like someone lost a bet and he's chasing them down. It's funny to watch him run. But nonetheless, that's going to be your stud, Isaiah Pacheco. As far as your dud goes, the tight end position, Cole Kmet, not great. Still somehow the tight end 5 on the year, but only puts up 1.9 fantasy points this week. You know, Justin Fields did get banged up, so we'll have to see. His role could change here. I don't know if it'll be for the better or for the worse with the new quarterback coming in. I do think Fields misses a couple weeks here with the dislocated finger. So we'll see moving forward what the deal is with Cole Kmet. Moving on to Sweet Chick Music. Only 91 points this week. Again, just a down week for everybody scoring. So 91 in the grand scheme of things, not awful. As far as your stud goes, man, Travis Etienne just keeps getting it done. 55 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns, 3 receptions for 28 yards. He got 21.8 fantasy points, pretty much identical to what I needed from Tony Pollard to get me the win. So super jealous here. But Travis Etienne is the running back 3 on the season. What a great draft pick here. The thoughts of Tank Bigsby coming in, taking over, I mean, it's so laughable now. You know, you listen to these fantasy football experts and they try to get ahead of themselves. You know what I mean? Same situation with Ken Walker and Zach Charbonnet. Oh, well, you know, these teams brought these running backs in and from, you know, drafted them in the 3rd round. So they're definitely going to have a role, and Ken Walker struggled in the red zone, so I guess that means that's why they drafted Charbonnet to get the goal line work. And it's all – that's too many levels to look down the line. You know what I mean? We saw Ken Walker last year. We saw Travis Etienne last year. They were dominant for fantasy football and for their actual NFL teams. It's called depth, folks, and I'm just so glad I got as much Ken Walker and Travis Etienne as I could. They were draft day steals. They'd go back into the first round right now, probably maybe early second in draft. So, yeah, don't always hear, you know, don't always believe what the quote-unquote fantasy experts say. This is where this is why fantasy football is great, is no matter how many podcasts you listen to or cheat sheets, you still have to make a decision on players. And this is a long-winded way to say just a great draft pick by Joe Chick with Travis Etienne. As far as his dud goes, I mean, this is this is just fitting. It's the back and forth. It's George Kittle. In a game where Debo Samuel goes out, Christian McCaffrey goes out, George Kittle, one reception for 1 yard. This is just what he does. The highs and lows of the tight end position to begin with, and then you throw in a George Kittle. If you want to talk about roller coaster, man, George Kittle, 3 touchdowns last week on, what was it, 3 receptions or 4 receptions, back to a pumpkin, I guess, this week. I mean, he's still so good. Again, as a football player, he's out there blocking Myles Garrett and stuff. I mean, he was needed in a different role this week, so I think that's what it was. So no knock on George Kittle at all. Better days definitely ahead for him, especially coming up. I believe they play the Minnesota Vikings indoors, and I'm afraid for what he's going to do here. As far as our bet goes, by the way, Kittle is averaging 8.1 fantasy points at the moment. And if we look at Darren Waller, he's at, let me see here, he's at 7. So you're a point ahead of me here. So I just need some touchdowns. I mean, the fact that Waller has 0 touchdowns is only a point behind George Kittle, who's had several touchdowns, shows how close this bet actually is. So no victory laps, folks. This is going to go down to the wire. And again, they still have to play a mandatory 13 games each. So I know someone was asking about the bet, so that's why I'm mentioning it now. But nonetheless, Gage takes the win. He's going to move on to 4-2 on the season, while Joe Chick moves to 2-4. All right, our next matchup. Surprising implications here from one of the top teams in the league and the bottom teams in the league. This is Teddy Bears versus Unleash the Beast. This is Maddie versus Alicia. And Maddie takes the win 136-92. I say implications because Alicia's firmly in the Build-A-Bear Bowl with myself and Jason. So every matchup for her matters. And Maddie is trying to continue his unbeaten streak, starting at 6-0 this season. Let's take a look at his team. The highest scoring output on the week, 136 points. And that comes with injuries as well. Justin Fields, we talked about at the start of the show, was injured, only got him 5 fantasy points. But for his purposes, it did not matter. His stud is going to be Raheem Mostert. 115 on the ground and 3 total touchdowns. He had 3 receptions for and 1 receiving touchdown as well. So 32 fantasy points here for Raheem Mostert. Unbelievably, through 6 weeks, he is the running back 2. So we didn't know if it was sustainable at the very beginning, but that run scheme from the Miami Dolphins is just unstoppable no matter who is back there. While he's one of the fastest players in the league to begin with, we didn't see anything close to this when he was with the Niners, although he was pretty banged up. So maybe we just didn't see the full unleashed potential of Raheem Mostert, but we're seeing it now. It's unbelievable. And he's doing this without Devon Achane or Jeff Wilson in the backfield. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But there's no way, if I'm Mike McDaniels, I'm not taking Mostert off the field. If anything, it's a 60-40 split minimum. He give Mostert 60% of the carries, and you let Jeff Wilson or A-Chain come in and split that work if everybody can get healthy. It's kind of a round robin right now in that backfield, except for Mostert. As far as your dud goes, excuse me, nobody really killed you here. Mike Evans returning from the injury. 4 receptions, 49 yards, only 6.9 fantasy points. But when you're scoring 136, Mike Evans scoring you 7 points did not crush you. But we'll see if he can get healthy. Mike Evans, he's having a great year. Still the wide receiver 17 on the year. So we will be monitoring Maddie's team with Justin Fields. And luckily for him, Kyren Williams, again, got banged up. Will miss this week's upcoming game, but scored him 21 fantasy points before exiting. Meanwhile, Debo Samuel for my squad loves to leave games in the first quarter and get me 0 points. So anytime you have an injury, it's nice when the player gets you 21 points before they exit. Moving on to Unleash the Beast, 92 points, not bad as far as points go here. Alicia, obviously some duds to talk about. Damian Pierce, 3 fantasy points, no receptions. This is concerning. In that backfield right now, it's not even just the player. It's really just how they're operating. Looks like, they're just throwing more than we thought from a rookie quarterback. And there's just not a lot of work left for Damian Pierce. He went up against a stout defense against New Orleans. Damian Pierce has had a rough go this year. A lot having to do with schedule. He's went against some of the toughest run defenses in the league to start the year. But he's also just not very efficient. He's not getting many yards before contact, and that goes a long way when you're just not fast like these Mosterts and A-Chans of the world, where they're just getting 5 yards before they're even touched. So Damian Pierce, just an inefficient plotter right now. Feels like an Eddie Lacy type season going on for Damian Pierce. As far as your stud goes, it could go to Travis Kelce, 9 receptions, 124 yards. One of his best games of the season, didn't have any touchdowns, but when you're getting 16.9 fantasy points with no touchdowns, again, we've talked about it, that's just great output, and you always have that upside. But how about Josh Downs, 5 receptions, 21 yards and a touchdown, 10 fantasy points. Again, Gardner Minshew, sustaining multiple fantasy players right now as the backup. Looks like he might be the starter for the rest of the season if Richardson can't make it back. But as the backup quarterback, doing a great job for our purposes in fantasy football. Josh Downs looks like a nice little double flex player moving forward. So with that said, Unleash the Beast takes the loss, firmly entrenched in the Build-A-Bear Bowl with myself and Jason, while the Teddy Bears remains undefeated and looking to, this is exactly the same run that Alicia had last year, was dominant. Let's see if he can put it all together here. Now, I want to know if Maddie's listening to this, write it down in the chat. Would you prefer to just get a loss, no matter, maybe score a ton of points and get a loss just to get that off your chest? Because in the NFL, NBA, hockey, all these teams that break records as far as going undefeated or putting up season best performances usually don't win the championship. So are you that type of guy who just wants to get a loss real quick to get the pressure off him, or do you want to go undefeated and try to win it in the championship? Let me know in the comments and like and subscribe. But good matchup, you two. Our next matchup is going to be the husband and wife, Ball Too Well, Taylor, taking on Chicken Tendies, Josh. And man, I wish I could be a fly on the wall for this one if they were watching some of these games together. Josh takes the win, 90.4 to 89.8. We're talking a matter of 0.6 fantasy points, which is 6 yards. Taylor takes the loss here. Let's take a look at Josh's team here. A low scoring game from both teams here. Again, the week, points were down this week anyway, but no triple digits here. to be seen. And this matchup definitely was in consideration for matchup of the week. It went down to Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. Taylor had Josh Allen on Sunday night, while, you know, she headed into Monday Night Football with a lead, and Josh had Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler. Let's take a look at Josh's team here. Welcome back, Austin Eckler. Didn't do much, but he is back on Josh's team, ready to roll. We'll go Justin Herbert here as your stud. Now, 18 fantasy points is not what you expect from the number one, you know, who was the number one quarterback on the season. But against that Dallas D, you're going to take that. If that's the low, you know, baseline point output from Justin Herbert this year, you're going to love some of his matchups coming up here. So I'm sure you'll take that. Justin Herbert is now the QB6 on the year, averaging 23 fantasy points per game. This was his lowest output since week one, where he scored 20, so 18 this week. But he has the Kansas City Chiefs and the Chicago Bears as his next two games. So you'll take that all day. As far as your dud goes, Logan Thomas, what happened? We thought you were going to be a viable tight end for the Washington Commanders. As a Jahan Dotson owner, you know, he's gone off my team because the Commanders, who are throwing a decent amount, just weren't throwing to wide receivers. So it's like, if they're not throwing to wide receivers, all right, it's going to Logan Thomas. I can deal with that. I have him in another league as well. But this week, it kind of flip-flopped. I mean, don't worry, Dotson still didn't get any looks. But Logan Thomas just wasn't part of the game plan. So he's still the tight end 14 on the season. But one fantasy point, not going to get it done from that tight end position. Actually, 0.7 fantasy points. Ironically, if you want to, if you really want to break it down, you could do this any type of way with any of these players. But that 0.7 that Logan Thomas got instead of a goose actually got you the win, if you want to do it that way. So one reception, 2 yards for Logan Thomas. Moving on to Taylor's team. Again, we got to monitor Christian McCaffrey's injury and see if he's going to be playing next Monday. But as far as your stud goes, Adam Thielen. Oh, my goodness. I just didn't see this coming. I was talking to Gage and Elliot about this yesterday. An aging wide receiver switching teams, going to a team with not just a rookie quarterback, a struggling rookie quarterback. The last I checked, the Carolina Panthers are, you know, don't have a win, and Bryce Young hasn't looked great. You know, he'll be fine. He's obviously the number one draft pick, but Adam Thielen, 11 catches for 115 and a touchdown every single week. He keeps getting it done. He's averaging 17 fantasy points per game. He is the wide receiver, what? He's the wide receiver 5 on the year, just like we all thought. I believe he was picked up on waivers. So, no, he was drafted. I apologize. Drafted here by Taylor. Great pickup. Drafted 117th overall. What a steal in drafts. So, just keep firing him up, Taylor. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you have to do special. He's your wide receiver 1 right now. As far as your dud goes, how about DeAndre Hopkins? This is exactly what I expected from Adam Thielen. An aging wide receiver switching teams. DeAndre Hopkins goes to Tennessee and just not getting it done. He's the wide receiver 43 on the season, averaging 8 fantasy points per game. So this is kind of the, you know, the up and down of going after some of these old, you know, these guys were fantasy superstars just years ago. And you try to take the value in fantasy drafts because they're switching teams or because of their quarterback situation. And Adam Thielen in one hand, DeAndre Hopkins, 2 fantasy points this past week in the other hand. So hopefully better days ahead. But Taylor moves to 4-2 on the year. So not bad in a loss. You're still 4-2 right there in the hunt. Not to be confused with Elliott's in the hunt, which we will get to next. But you're in the hunt for a title still. And Chicken Tendies, 5-1 on the year. That's without Nicholas Chubb. Obviously still headed in the direction of the playoffs and a championship opportunity. But is anybody going to take down the Teddy Bears? And finally, usually I like to get these done at the beginning of the show, but I decided to try to hide it, you know, towards the end. It's going to be In the Hunt. Excuse me. Taking on Mr. Fahrenheit the Fourth, whoever that is. 92-86. Another low scoring game here. Taking a look at Elliott's team. Tyreek Hill, my goodness gracious, 6 receptions, 163 yards and a touchdown. He exited the game for just a little bit with cramps, but he's okay, scoring 25 fantasy points this week. He is clearly the wide receiver 1 on the year, 23.3 fantasy points per game. Yeah, I heard he's on pace for 2,300 yards at this point. His goal was always to reach that 2,000-yard mark, which nobody's ever done in the NFL. Obviously, he has an extra game this year, so if he can stay healthy, I can't see why he can't get that mark. You know, it's one of those situations where at the end of the year, if the Dolphins are still playing for something, that's going to be great for Tyreek. You know, especially during fantasy playoffs, because he's not only going to be trying to win for the Dolphins, he's going to really want to get that 2,000 mark. That's going to be very special. He's still just one of the best weapons I've ever seen. You know, you have your Jerry Rice's and your Calvin Johnson's and stuff like that, but this guy, him and Randy Moss are just the best wide receiver weapons I've ever seen. Unstoppable. Can't game plan for him. It's just so funny to see guys who try to bump and run at the line of scrimmage, or somehow Tyreek Hill ending up in man-to-man coverage one-on-one in certain scenarios, and that's all Mike McDaniels drawing up those plays. But, oh, man, he's unbelievable. As far as your dud goes, we're going to go DeMarcado, Amari DeMarcado. Tough start there. You know, not tooting my own horn at all. So glad I didn't put any fab on DeMarcado in any of my 6 leagues. I didn't understand the hype. A complete no-name player stepping into a role that wasn't that good to begin with. So this was just a tough one here. Davante Adams, only 3 fantasy points, definitely in contention. But, you know, he got a little banged up and has been banged up. So, you know, Elliott added DeMarcado for $77 and gets 2 fantasy points, and I can't see him starting him anytime soon. So in a world where I spent, you know, whatever I did on Jerome Ford and then trading him for Alvin Kamara, you know, that's what I did with my fab. DeMarcado for $77 is going to be a rough one. Elliott's financial planner is punching the air right now. So that's going to be your dud. Moving on to my team, 86 points. I can't even talk trash because my team's just garbage. I'm giving it to Deebo Samuel. I don't care. He's injured. I don't care. It's the second time he's left in the first quarter. And you know what? Listen, if you're injured, just sit out so I can start someone else. You know what the report is? He leaves the game in the first quarter, 1 fantasy point. No targets again. It was a rushing attempt. Do you know what the report is? Deebo Samuel should be okay. He's day-to-day. Well, that doesn't help me. It's a Monday Night Football game again, so I need to have a contingency plan. And is he just going to go out there and be a decoy again like he was 2 weeks ago? So Deebo is just a terrible fantasy player right now. He's not quite that purgatory player because if he's active, you have to start him. He's just that good. But is he a decoy? I don't know. So he's going to be my dud, 1 fantasy point on the year. He's now the wide receiver 27 on the year and has a game with 0.6 fantasy points and 1.1. So those games crushed my soul. I can't come back from those. Otherwise, my team did pretty good this week. As far as my stud goes, I'm going Garrett Wilson. No touchdowns here, but 8 receptions for 90 yards. Garrett Wilson, quietly the wide receiver 21 on the year. It's going to be hard to score touchdowns, few and far between there with Wilson at the helm. But 12 targets is what I'm after against Philly. They're on a bye this week, and when they come back, they get to play the New York Giants, the Chargers, and the Las Vegas Raiders. Juicy schedule for Garrett Wilson moving forward. But your boy, Mr. Fahrenheit, 0-6. Again, fully entrenched in that Build-A-Bear Bowl. I have myself right now in last place, followed by Alicia, who has one win. I am above her in points by about 40 or so points. So that one win is keeping her ahead of me. Jason's win this week propels him to 10th place. I am also above him in points, but only by 8 points. So a win could put me right back in the 9th or 10th spot. But if I keep losing, I am going to be taking a teddy bear to a nice restaurant. And it's going to be awful. So that's where we're at right now. But congratulations to Elliot. Moves to 5-1 in our division and our league. I said he was a top team to start the year. I'm still going to... hey, listen. My fantasy team sucks. So yeah, you're going to listen to me take a couple victory laps on stuff like waiver wire and the draft grade episode. I have to take some victory laps somewhere because this has not been fun. If I'm going to continue to do a podcast, I at least need to pretend to know what I'm, that you guys think I know what I'm doing. So as of right now, I'm 0-6. And again, congratulations to Elliot. It was a fun little win for you. Tony Pollard should have got that touchdown. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Week 6 in the books. Week 7, again, bye NATO is here. 6 teams on a bye. So many injuries. We're going to see guys started that we would never dream of. I picked up Jawan Jennings, I think his name is. Some of you might have never heard of him. Joe Chick knows who he is, but wide receiver for the Niners. And I kind of just have to keep him on my bench as an insurance policy if Debo is a late scratch on Monday Night Football. And those are some of the choices that we're going to have to make, not just myself. So have fun with it. This is when a lot of, again, fantasy managers in other leagues stop playing. Because of some of the names you're going to have to throw out there, and it's not even fun looking at waiver wires and stuff, but this is where you can start to win championships is deep diving on some of these guys and just keep playing. You know, I'm 0-6. I'm just going to keep going. I appreciate you guys for this league. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been fun, but not real fun. We'll see you guys in week 7. Take care.